Good morning, KRFY listeners. Thanks for tuning in to Community Conversation. I am Susie Prez, your host today. Community Conversation is an interim show in place of the live morning show and broadcasts each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m., bringing local content through recorded interviews. Please note, these interviews take place a few days prior to the broadcast date and are produced via Zoom. Due to occasional internet glitches, sound quality may vary. Thank you for your patience. We also want to thank Zoom for supporting our community conversation efforts. All community conversations are available on our website after the show airs at krfy.org. Today, we'll be talking with some of the care team from the Bridge at Sandpoint Assisted Living about how the last year has been for the residents at the Bridge and for our senior population in general here in North Idaho. My guests are Jennifer Adamson, RN, resident care nurse, and Suzanne Vega, LPN, executive director. And so welcome, Jennifer and Suzanne.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Susie. We appreciate the invite.
Welcome. And it's so nice to have you on Community Conversations to talk about our senior population and how COVID has impacted their lives. I also want to mention that KRFY very much appreciates the fact that the Bridge at Sandpoint Assisted Living is one of our valued and essential underwriters. And we really are appreciative of the support the Bridge gives to our community radio station. So, but before we get to that, before we get to how COVID has impacted our senior population and how it's been, let's clarify just for a minute, what is assisted living? Because that's what the Bridge is. It's an assisted living community. So maybe Suzanne, why don't you tell us what assisted living is?
Yes. So maintaining independence is important for people as they age. And honestly, independence is important for us at a very early age. Anyone with a toddler can tell you that. But more so as you age. In fact, losing it is one of the biggest fears that seniors have. An overwhelming majority want to remain in their homes, and understandably so. But the reality is that 1 in 5 U.S. adults age 85 and older say that they either need or currently receive help with activities of daily living. And that would be dressing, bathing, those normal things that we do in the course of our day. In order for them to receive that kind of help and be as independent as possible, they need some place that can provide that. And that is assisted living. It has several different names. Certain state licenses call it residential care or personal care, but it is kind of the place in between skilled nursing services and maybe an independent apartment community for seniors.
So when you say that one of the biggest fears that seniors have is losing their independence, as toddlers do too, how does the Bridge at Sandpoint kind of help with that in a way that keeps the residents safe but also gives them that sense of independence, even though they're getting that assistance?
Right, and that's a great question. It is a balancing act. We are very careful in learning as much as we possibly can about our residents here. They become our family. And we want to know, do they always want horseradish on their plate, no matter what we're serving for dinner? Or do they not eat breakfast? Do they only like to wear the color blue? I mean, everyone has their idiosyncrasies. And when you move into a population such as this, it's very important that those things are respected. And so we give as much independence as far as making their own choices and staying within the normalcy of their life as possible.
So give us a little picture of a day in the life at the Bridge. How does a day unfold for most of the residents there, and as you give them assistance and independence at the same time? And Jennifer, you wanted to answer that.
Yes. So our residents, the day will vary just depending on who you are. Like Suzanne said, everyone has their own routine. And so we do everything we can to accommodate those. But most of it is just choice. You get the choice of if you want breakfast, if you want to come down. If you don't, you have that choice. And so we try and offer as many choices as possible between what you can have for different meals. We have a large everyday menu that you can choose from, as well as the specials of the day. We have a ton of activities that you can choose which ones you like to go to. And we focus so much on the choice and what our residents want that we have a resident council meeting every month, so the residents can voice their opinions or they can make suggestions on what they'd like to see in our community.
And when you say community, how do you bring a sense or enhance the sense of community there at the Bridge at Sandpoint?
So we focus a lot on bringing everyone together, especially during this time, but just in general, we always want everyone to feel like this is their home. Other people live here, but we're all one big family. So we try and get everyone involved with things like theme days, where all the staff will dress up, and we had the St. Patrick's Day and everyone wore green, and we get all the residents to wear green with us. Or Halloween is a big one that we have fun together. And I think that's what makes it feel the most like a community.
And then again, some of the residents have family members in the that live close by. So how do you include family members in this new way that they are living?
So we have always put a focus on family. And so before a person moves in, and every 6 months, or just when there's a change and something needs to happen, I'll go in and we'll have what's an assessment where I talk with them, discuss what the needs are. And after that, any findings I have a meeting with the family and the residents. And we talk about that. And then together as a team, we develop an individual care plan. So that way everyone is heard and the families can be directly involved with their loved ones' care.
That's great. I wonder what some of the challenges are that either the families may experience or the residents may experience. And I think of, do they get lonely? Do they get, how do they integrate when they first come in? How can they become part of that community? Is there a challenge there?
There's always a challenge in change. Change is hard, even good change. You get pushback. We like to think of it as opportunities rather than difficulties. And we have members of our community, residents that have been here for some time, who take those new residents under their wing, you know, introduce them, come invite them to the activities that we're having, or just sit and visit with them in their rooms, as do our staff. We have a very wonderful activities department, and especially during this last year, they have spent so much time just doing one-on-one visits with our residents in their apartment, going in and reading books with them, or playing a board game with them, or just being there and listening to their concerns and trying to help them talk those things through. We did a lot of video visits for our residents with their families, and through the window visits. And we have been building, I guess, the ship during the storm, trying to adapt as all the changes came, sometimes on a daily or even hourly basis. And you can't love people too much. And so we just love on them and think, what would I want to be happening if it was me, and try to give them that.
It sounds like you're keenly aware of what they need. It sounds like there's an orientation and integration well thought out. I just want to interject here for a moment that my mother was there for 5 years, And we just thought it was one of the best things that could ever have happened, because I did see the care that the staff gave to each individual person and to her. You know, each person is different and has different needs, as you say. And I just want to say that. So thank you to the Bridge for my mother's time there. So I just want to remind our listeners right now, this is 88.5 KRFY, and this is Community Conversations. We're talking about the senior population here in our community, some of the services and things that can happen them to make life better, and how COVID has impacted their lives. And I'm speaking with Jennifer Adamson, RN resident care nurse, and Suzanne Vega, LPN executive director of the Bridge at Sandpoint Assisted Living. And as we all know, it's been quite a year with COVID-19 lockdown, and we know the elderly are very vulnerable to this virus, causing potential severe health issues. And on March 13th, 2020, the doors at the Bridge were shut to visitors for the protection of the residents. So where are we at now, and how successful was the Bridge in keeping the residents safe? Big challenge, as you say, but give us a picture of what this last year has been like.
So it hasn't been without its struggles. It's something that most of us haven't run into before, but I'm happy to say, and I think we're very blessed that we can say that we have not had a single case of COVID in our community, both staff and residents, for the entire duration of this pandemic.
Congratulations. I think that's not the case everywhere. I remember hearing the news in Spokane that some of their resident care places had terrible outcomes. So you must have done something right. So what are some of the mitigation things put into place besides closing the doors?
We had a very interesting year, starting with the notification that we were going to be shutting down to visitors and that we had to figure out how we were going to make that look immediately. And then came all the news reports that essential employees couldn't be out and about without their letters, and getting those from our corporate offices in Tennessee, and everyone, you know, waiting for those letters and keeping them in their glove boxes, worried that you were going to get pulled over and asked about your letter. It was an awe-inspiring time at the beginning. The streets were very, very different. People weren't out and about as they have been able to, as things have changed and we've figured out how to be a little more normal. We started with daily screening of the staff for fever and symptoms from day one, and of course masks, all the masks. And we were so grateful to the people of the community who came together and made masks for us at the beginning when it was a cloth mask situation. We went to surgical masks before it was a requirement. I have some background in surgery and infection control, and I just felt like the cloth masks were not going to be the answer to our problem. And I think maybe that's part of our reason that we were able to not have COVID. We went to surgical masks right away. We also created at 2 o'clock in the morning, because I couldn't sleep thinking about COVID and how are we going to keep bringing people in who need our services and are now afraid to come out of their homes. They couldn't go to grocery stores. They couldn't pick up their medications. They couldn't go to the doctor's offices. Nobody was going anywhere. So there was this huge need. And I woke up at 2 a.m. and thought, how are we going to bring in new residents and keep our current residents safe? And I came to work and I spoke to my maintenance director, Jeffrey Myers, who's a wonderful person, and said, this is what's in my mind. I think you can make this out of heavy plastic and PVC pipe. And he sketched it out and built it. And we basically made containment chambers for outside of the rooms for the new admissions, so that we would have a place to change into our PPE, our personal protective equipment, the gowns, the masks, the gloves, and have a place to keep them and sanitize them and throw away the dirty things without it being out in the general population. And he got really quick at putting those up and did just an excellent job. We did weekly testing. As soon as we were able to get on Crush the Curve Idaho, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but the Idaho government has a grant program that pays for the testing for long-term care staff. And so we signed up for that right away and were able to get the supplies so that we could do weekly testing and make sure that we weren't bringing it in the building.
That was one of my questions, because you can close a building and you can keep the residents kind of isolated, but you have staff that have homes, right, that have partners and children. And how did you do that? So when you had this testing opportunity, did you, were they rapid tests so that you could know in the moment if they were safe?
We initially signed up for the rapid testing through BINAX and were the only building in the Panhandle Health District 1 that got a CLIA waiver to do that. And then after we had those supplies in place, we found out that they were really only good for people that were symptomatic. And we weren't allowing those people in the building anyway. A lot of our team members spent days at home in the beginning, especially because any sign of a symptom, and we would send you home, or our team was calling and saying, you know, I feel fine, but I just don't feel right, or I have a little bit of a fever, and we would say, stay home. Mm-hmm. And our managers were on the floor giving showers, taking care of people, passing out meals, whatever it took, because we wanted our team members to be safe. And we figured out early on, our residents aren't going anywhere. We're not in danger from them. We are the danger. And we didn't want to take that chance that we were going to endanger anyone.
I think that was a big challenge that you met quite adequately. It's maybe a little bit of luck there too, because of the asymptomatics. But, you know, in those early days, before we even knew about the mask thing, we were washing our hands a lot and we weren't touching things. And then the mask came in. But once everyone starts wearing masks, then there's a little bit more barrier to protect. So what were some of the other challenges? I know that Jennifer, you mentioned to me that your managers are all medical personnel, which probably helped a lot. Suzanne, when you woke up at 2 a.m, you were thinking critical. You were thinking in a critical health sort of way, medical sort of way, which makes, I think, a big difference that the staff, a lot of the managing staff had that background to kind of see where to go and what to do.
Yep, I definitely think it's helped. I came on midway through the pandemic, but I think this building is definitely blessed to have 3 nurses available. That's not the case everywhere, but it definitely helps in this situation, because there's always somebody available who has a nursing background and can answer those questions that families have or that residents have. Even staff members have questions. And so there's always somebody there to provide feedback, to be able to think critically like a nurse and be able to point people in the right direction. So I think that's also helped a lot.
Right. And when we're talking about the building being locked down for a year, what were some of the other kinds of challenges for the residents themselves being isolated? I know the staff did everything they could to probably encourage them in all different ways, as you said, read to them and things like that. But what were some of those bigger challenges for the residents in lockdown?
I think the biggest challenge we had was trying to keep our residents engaged, active, and happy, because there was a lot of fear in the beginning. So we had to be very cautious to make sure we didn't bring COVID in the building, but we also wanted to make sure that the residents were able to continue living a life. And so we had a lot of restructured activities like karaoke in the hallways or hallway bingo, and just a lot of one-on-one visits and a lot of adjusted activities to help keep your mind off of everything that's going on outside, because you're still here and we still want to have fun, even if there's a situation going on that we can't control.
To keep the quality of life on the forefront.
Absolutely.
Then what can, you already mentioned the fact that you kept every resident safe during this last year. That's a lot to celebrate. Are there any other things that you can say we did that well?
Well, I think keeping all of our staff and residents safe was the number one accomplishment this year, but it also helped strengthen the bonds between our staff and between the staff and residents. We've been able to develop even further than we normally would the bonds that we have with them and strengthen those relationships. So I think that's something that even if it wasn't the best year, there was still some good that came out of it.
Fantastic. And so here we are kind of opening things up. How is it going now? And have you been able to offer the vaccine to your staff and residents? How is it there now? And is it open back up? Just give us a picture of now.
So we have had 3 clinics for vaccinations held here inside the building. And we're able to have Walgreens come in and provide that service for us, which was amazing because we didn't have to take our residents to a place that was less protected out in the community and to wait in line for vaccinations. And we offered those to our team members as well. We continue to do weekly testing. We will not stop that until we are certain that we're safe, that we're safe and we're not going to be endangering our residents in any way, shape, or form. The beauty though, is that now the vaccinations have been given, we have been able to open up large group activities. We do them very carefully. We have our bingo in the dining room so that the tables can be 6 feet apart and our residents can each sit at the tables. They're able to wear their masks to all the activities and still participate, still have that fun. And if you've never seen competitive bingo, you need to come see bingo in our building. We have a walking club. Then they are walking across America right now. They started in Portland, Oregon, and I believe that we are in Tennessee now. We're tracking everybody's miles. We have been able to start communal dining with the table 6 feet apart, which is huge. We went from having one dining room to 37 dining rooms, basically, as the residents were eating in their rooms. And now we're able to have our communal dining again, which is huge. The smiles on people's faces, and they may be further apart than they were before, but they're close enough to talk and engage, and that's wonderful. But the biggest thing is we have been able to allow families to come back in and visit. And, you know, they have to show us that they've had their COVID vaccination or that they've been tested in the last 7 days and it's a negative test. But as long as they do those things, they can schedule a visit and actually come in, spend time with their families. And that is huge, absolutely enormous. And some of my residents will tell you the biggest thing for them was our hairdresser was able to come back in because that is super important, super important.
It really matters. I understand. Well, that's fantastic. So if someone was interested in learning more, how do they go about contacting the Bridge at Sandpoint Assisted Living?
So you can give us a call at 208-263-1524, or you can visit our website at thebridgeatsandpoint.com, or you can even find us on Facebook under The Bridge at Sandpoint.
All right. So what else would you like to say in closing? I'm speaking here with Jennifer Adamson and Suzanne Vega from The Bridge at Sandpoint Assisted Living about elder care and the challenges of COVID and where we're at now. So anything else you'd like to add?
One thing I wanted to say was a lot of people ask us how we got so lucky. And I want to point out that about 3 weeks in, we stopped saying we were lucky. We were blessed. We were blessed. Lots and lots of prayers, I believe, were poured into this building and over these residents and team members, and we're so grateful for it.
How wonderful is that? And Jennifer, anything you'd like to say in closing?
I want to agree with Suzanne that it's not luck, it's a lot of hard work, and that we are extremely blessed, and we have a wonderful team here who care about our residents and care about the community. And so we're going to keep doing everything we can to keep our residents safe. So it's not over yet, but we're seeing some changes.
Well, I want to thank you both, Jennifer Adamson and Suzanne Vega, for joining me today and giving us a picture of life at the Bridge at Sandpoint Assisted Living, along with what it offers our senior community. Thank you so much for taking the time and for all you do. And thanks for being a valued KRFY underwriter also, the Bridge. We really appreciate it here so we can keep on the air and offering information and inspiration to our listeners. So thank you, girls, gals.
Well, Susie, thank you so much for having us. And I wanted to say thank you for the honor of caring for your mom.
Yeah, she's a sweet gal. And so that's it. Goodbye and thank you. That's about it, folks. Thanks for listening to 88.5 KRFY Community and listener-supported radio for North Idaho and beyond, streaming on the web at krfy.org. Podcasts of this and all community conversation shows are available on the station's website, again, krfy.org. And since we are a resource to help our community with information and news, here's an update. Information about the coronavirus, the COVID-19, is evolving on a daily basis, and new protocols for reopening are coming out regularly under Governor Little's reopening plan. Please continue to work together to minimize the impact of COVID-19 in our community and respond proactively to federal and state guidance. More information at coronavirus.idaho.gov, where you can also sign up to get the vaccine. It's really pretty simple and we can get through this together. Let's be good neighbors and friends and protect each other. Continue to wear your mask out in public. It matters, it really does. Thanks for listening to today's community conversation, airing each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. on 88.5 KRFY Community Radio. Please enjoy Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long. Have a great day. Bye-bye for now.